met John about 20 years ago, probably. And at that time, he was a businessman. Had a couple of Arco gas stations, but he was part of our Arabic Christian church. And it's been instrumental. He's like one of the people that helped plant that church. But for years, I don't want to take away too much of a story, but for years, he kind of avoided the call, I'll say. He was willing to support the call, but he kind of avoided the call. His wife knew all along that he should be more involved in full-time ministry. Anyway, so he has surrendered to that, and he has been pastoring the Arabic church. But God has taken him even beyond that, and I'm seeing real fruitful ministry. And he works with new immigrants coming into the country from Arabic-speaking countries, and I think beyond. And has a lot of success and a lot of impact there. And recently, and I think this is what he's going to be talking about more. John, how long had you been away? So John is from Egypt. He's been in the States since 1972. And how long since you'd been back to Egypt? 17 years. And God stirred his heart afresh. He'll share a story with you. But so this is Pastor John Bascaron, and I'd like you to give him a big welcome when he comes. So.
Thank you, Lord. I like the song where they say he make beautiful things.
Amen.
He make beautiful things out of me. He make beautiful things out of you.
Yeah.
And he brought us from everywhere, different tongues, different culture, different people, different dressing, different everything.
Yeah.
But he brought us in one, and in heaven, we're going to be all what we do there, just worship him.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm my privilege to be here with you guys. And Pastor Kelly, as he said, we know each other for a long time, and he was part of the support group for the Arabic church. So Pastor Kelly was part of the support group for the Arabic church when the churches always go up and down, split and things. The devil never take vacation, by the way. He's working like 24/7. You know, the blood pantry and 7-Eleven, it's 24/7, right? I used to have a gas station, AMBM, it worked 24/7. So unfortunately, the devil is working 24/7, so he was putting things in the church and up and down. So it came to the point is Pastor Kelly and some group from the Oregon Conference was helping the church, and I was there. But I was saying one thing. I ran away very good. I mean, we planted the church in 1972, but in 2009, I ran away. To confirm what Pastor Kelly was saying, two superintendents was asking me every time, we change a pastor, we change about four pastors. We didn't change it. They left. They come and tell me, John, you are a good pastor for this church. And I tell them, superintendent, no. If you remember Superintendent Kelly, I believe.
Keller, yeah.
Yeah, Keller, yeah. That before Gary.
Yeah, yeah.
He asked me that, and Superintendent Gary asked me that. But I always say no. My dad, I was born in a Christian family. My father is a pastor. And I told my dad one time when he said, you have a call in you to be a pastor. I said, Dad, I don't want to live your life. I don't want to live pastoring life. So I can feel for the pastor kids, you know. They don't want to live their father life. I don't want to, but I know I have the call, but I was running away. Like Pastor Kelly said, I ran away for 40 years. 40 years.
Wow.
40 years. I studied my degree in Lebanon in a Baptist college. But when I came here, I started working, and I made an agreement with the Lord. I will serve you through my labor. I work, and I'll serve you. I don't want to be depending in the church. And I did. I came through, and he came through, and he blessed me a lot. We came here to Oregon in 1992, and I have a business. God prospered me a lot. I came with partnership with a gas station, half of the gas station. But after 2 years, God prospered me, and I bought the station. I bought more businesses, and I was big. We planned the church. We have pastor. We started the church growing. So it was good. So I was serving the Lord through my businesses, and I was very happy. Until I ran away completely, and in 2009, I sold everything. I went back to California. I don't got nothing to do with the Arabic church. I don't want nothing to do with other church. I don't want nothing to do with, I don't want to say it was God, but I just, nothing to do with the ministry. But he keep after me. Even in California, when I went back to California, he got me involved in a church. He got me involved in a TV channel. He got me involved in a program to pray with people. I said, what are you doing? I just want to let you know, no matter how far you run, you can run. You can hide, but you cannot run, right? That the Americans say, yeah, you can hide, but you can't run. He'll find you somewhere. If he assign you a mission or something, he will get you sooner or later. Just remember this. You're not going to run away. You know, some people just said, the people, they run away from the cops with the car and they run away when the cops keep running after them. They said they cannot run away from the radio. The cops have radio. They can talk to many of them. They can get your helicopter. They can get your things. But they're going to catch you no matter how far you go. I feel the same thing with the Lord. No matter how far I go, no matter how far I say, no, I'm not going to do it, he's going to get you. That's what he did to me. After 4 years, I got back, and I've been a pastor for the Arabic church. Of course, up and down. But one of the things I will talk to you after this here, this is a little bit. When I came to church, it was only 8 people in my church. And I was looking for something, another way to bring people to church. Remember, I came from Egypt. The Muslim there, we've been persecuted in Egypt. We have no right. You are a second class or third class or no class at all. So when I came here as a pastor, somebody suggested to me, he said, John, Tharwat. That's what I said. All right. Pastor Kelly tried to say my Egyptian name. And that's, by the way, this is the reason I changed it. Not because of you. When I was working as a machinist, everybody said, I said, Tharwat. He said, how you spell it? How you pronounce it? Yeah. So I changed. Thank you. So I was looking for a way to bring new people to church. Not the old believers, the one they split and all that. No, I want new people. So I volunteer an organization called SOAR. It's like a conference of churches. They bring the refugee men from Iraq and Syria and Burma and all these areas. So I volunteer with them to translate to the Iraqis, because this is what they were coming this time, the Iraqis people. And guess what? I ran away from Muslims. 99.9 from the refugee came through these offices, Catholic Charity, Lutheran, and SOAR, they're all Muslims. And I hear a voice in my ear, my heart said, the Lord said, you don't want to go back to them? I brought them to you here. See that what I'm saying? God will never let you rest unless you be in his will. So I said, okay, Lord, I will do my best. And thank God, we have some of them came to church. We have some been baptized, a mother and a daughter. Didn't be baptized. They've been in church until now. But most of the Muslims, they used to come to church after they settled. They hear the message, I'll be with them for everything. And they just go. But the thing is, we plant a seed in them. So I want to pray for that. So this is one thing. The second thing is, after the refugees start slow down, we create a company, not an organization called REHO, Refugee Immigration Hospitality, as a welcome center. So we have now English classes for them in Rockwood, and we help them find jobs and all that. So that's what we do. We create that. We give furniture. We give, you know, we have a warehouse full of furniture, and we help these Muslims people. They're all Muslim. But the thing is, you keep helping them until you said, wow, why are you doing that? And that happened with me. Why are you doing that? We're Muslims. Why is a Christian helping us? Then the Lord hit me with that. Matthew 25, when the Lord said, I was hungry, and you give me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you give me something to drink. I was stranger, and you invited me in. I need clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the disciple asked him, when we did that? We didn't see you. We didn't see you. Then the answer, the king will reply and tell them, whatever you did for one of the least of those brothers of mine, you did it to me. So that's how I start the refugee things. Beside bringing people to church, these people, they came here. I met a family, came from Syria. They were in the airport, and soon they walk in from the gate, and I was standing outside. And I told them, marhaba. Hello by Arabic. The guy looked at me and he almost cried. He's 6 foot tall, big guy. And he came to me, he said, I've been born again right now. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have so many problems in the way here. No English, no food, no money, nothing. Like, so I felt like, oh Lord, you brought me for these people here? This wasn't in my intention whatsoever. Nothing from what I'm saying right now. It wasn't my plan. It was an agenda. It wasn't planned ahead. Nothing. It just came. The Lord wanted to do something. He's going to bring it to you. He's going to bring it to you very clear. And he's going to show you how he can use you. So we got these people and we organized their apartment, gave them furniture, and I stayed with them until they set. And now I see them regularly. They are very happy. They are very busy, and they are. They thank God for the people they met them here. So that's what it is. Then the Lord, I get calls from somebody. Tell me, somebody give me your number. They said, you help. And I'm here, I need help. I said, I don't help people. I said, no. Somebody give me this. So you see your name and your deed is being spread because the Lord wants to use you. Nobody can stop you from being used except yourself. Except yourself. You can say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. And you can take a side. Or you can, yes, Lord, I'm here to serve you to build the kingdom. What you want to do? Nobody stop you. No pastor, no father, no mother. Nobody can stop you except you. So my prayer is to let you, to let the Lord do his will in your life. after the refugee things, so I was saying to Pastor Kiri, 17 years I have not been in Egypt, and Egypt wasn't in my mind completely. Just like Oregon was when I left Oregon in 2009. Remember, maybe you heard that in the news, in the East Coast people, they said, Oregon? Oregon? Huh? Yeah, Oregon, yani gun. That means gun out of your mind. So when I left Oregon here in 2009, I said, Oregon. That's it. It wasn't in my mind to come back, but he brought me back. So he will bring you back. Anyway. Egypt was gone out of my mind. I have no relative there except cousins. And not big relationship. My mother, my father was here. My brothers, my wife, my kids, everything is here. So Egypt wasn't in my mind at all. Last time I went to Egypt, 17 years ago. And I said, I'm not coming back again. But the Lord came to me after, if you guys remember, a couple of years ago, we have an accident. It's act of terrors. They shot a bus going to a church in the desert, and they killed 29 people. Last year, they did the same thing. And I keep hearing people there is needing. The people there, they have no food. People there. And I just hear it. Then the Lord told me, I wanted to go back to Egypt. I told my wife that. Guess what my wife said? You're crazy. I said, yeah, I know. The Lord said, go back to Egypt. She said, how are you going to, that's in November. How are you going to go back to Egypt? What are you going to do there? I said, I don't know. I'm going to see people. How are you going to, we cannot afford it. This is first things. This is the stone, what you guys, the pastor was talking about. This is a big stone. The woman, when we're going to the grave, who's going to roll the stone? But the stone has been rolled, right? Hallelujah. Yeah. My wife said, first thing when I told her I'm going to go back to Egypt, and I was serious, said, we cannot afford it. You cannot afford even the ticket. I said, I don't know. He will provide. Okay. Just, you know, like when your kid said, okay, just go. And that's exactly what my wife did. Go, just, it's fine. Just, this is your idea, go. But she knows I'm not going to go. That's in her heart. My faith was very small. I admit it. I confessed right now. My faith was very small. I said, Lord, I cannot afford it. Anyway, after we have a refugee meeting, leaders meetings in Portland, then one of the American people said, John, I'm going to Egypt in Awima. Awima is helping, this organization helping the people. So I look at him and said, then he, I'm going to send the American. And you are Egyptian. You don't want to go. I said, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do my best. So I went home, went to the computer. I don't want to take too much time, but anyway. I went home, bought the computer, then I sat down and bought the ticket, I mean, the information. Then it came to the pay. I was checking out. I really did. I told the Lord, Lord, I cannot afford it. And I shut the laptop and went to sleep. That was around 12 o'clock at night. Until 3:30, I cannot sleep. And I was preaching a week before on if you have a faith, as the mustard seed, you will tell this mountain to move, it move. I was preaching. I was happy. Then this sermon, it came back to my mind. Looked like the Lord said to me, you're not faithful. You just talk. You have no courage. You don't believe me? I send you? You don't believe me? I can provide? All this until 4 o'clock in the morning, I cannot sleep. So guess what? First thing in the morning, I wake up after I went to sleep. I told the Lord, I'm going to get the ticket. I bought my credit card. I got the ticket. And that time, was I told the Lord, Lord, I did what you want, and now you provide. I talked to the Lord just like that. You know, I don't sit down and put verses and speak, you know, the big words and think. No. We talk just like we're talking right now. I tell him, okay, I got the ticket, you provide. 2 days later, I got the ticket price. Somebody donate $1,000. 4 days later, I got a call. Another $1,000. And the money start coming. But first $1,000 came. I sat at my kitchen table with my wife, and I literally cried. And I asked for forgiveness. If you have a faith, you can tell this mountain to move. It won't move. The Lord sent me with big money to Egypt. In 2 weeks, I got more than $10,000. Isn't that hallelujah? Yeah. Him. My wife and I, my wife, she said, honestly, I don't have faith to get this much money. Or somebody prophesied for me, and he said, John, you're going to get $10,000 before you go to Egypt. Guess what Sarah did in the tent when the Lord told him, you're going to get a son, right? The promised son? She laughed. I did laugh. I said, if I get $2,000, $3,000, that would be good. And I laughed. And the shame in me. God sent that much money. I went to Egypt. I saw, if you can put the pictures in a thumb. This is how the people lived there. I never experienced it. I lived in Egypt until maybe I was 16, 17, but I never went to these villages. I never experienced it. I never seen it. And I never even imagined people live like that. When I went to Egypt and see these people, I cried. I said, Lord, how could people live like that? Every time we go to a house, not every time, few times, after we leave from this house, they said, how do you know we have no money to buy breakfast? How do you know I have no money to take my son to the doctor? This is the little brothers of Jesus. What God called us to feed the hungry. I want to tell you something from the brothers, Proverbs 17. If you want to invest money, if you want to get good reward, good return, Proverbs 19, verse 17, who is kind to the poor, lend to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. You want to invest? Not the Bitcoin, not the bank, not this, not that. You want to invest? Let's invest in the kingdom of God. We're not going to take nothing with us. We're not going to here, you know, in earth, whatever we say, if the bank can get bankruptcy, the bank can close. The Bitcoin can go down. The stock market can crash. Remember when the stock market crashed? A lot of people killed themselves. Investors. But this investor, this bank here in heaven, in the Lord, it will never bankruptcy. It will never crash. It will never tell you, oh, you lost it. But he will reward you. But I want to make sure to understand reward. The reward is not materializing. It is not money. It could be. I'm not saying no. It could be. But I want you to look at around you every morning when you wake up in the morning. That's what I always do. Wake up in the morning, I'm vertical. That's the first part, right? I'm walking. I have my wife beside me. I have my kids in their home. I have my grandkids. When I went to difficulty in 2009, and I went back to California, I have some heart problems. I wake up in the morning, I look at it, I don't want to get depressed, and all what I say, thank you, Lord, for this, and you name it. The blessing, name the blessing on the, of the Lord in your life. Guess what? When you sit down and you think, how many blessings? You cannot count them. You cannot count them. For me, I cannot count the blessing. For me, I am so privileged to be a pastor for the Lord's ministry, serving him. Even if I go to Egypt in the houses, what you guys see, this is what one of the girls, she go out with us to see houses, because we go three, me, another man, and a girl, in case just a woman by itself in the house. This is the kingdom of the Lord. Are we willing to invest in it? Are we willing to invest in our life? Are we willing to help the poor people? I tell you what, our homeless, this is a feast. These people, I went with that woman sitting here. We visited that day. They are business people. 14 family. When I was in Egypt in that time, I visit 240 family. 240 family. And I'm expecting this time, I'm going back to June 3rd. I'm expecting to see more than that. We established there three teams in Egypt. Two in Upper Egypt and one in Cairo. And I'm going to go see more. I just got called. One of the villages there, we saw 150 family. He said, Pastor, it went up to almost 250 or more. The need is more than that. I know that. So I made a pledge to the Lord, to the people, whatever comes. I didn't need a salary. I didn't take a salary. There is no administration fees. There is no expense except traveling and living there, the expense of the traveling. Everything that comes will go to these people. And the reason I don't associate, when I went down there by myself and met these people, I didn't associate with big organization, because I know by the time the poor guy get something from that dollar, he'll probably have 10 cents, or he does not have anything at all, if you remember that. You know, by the time go to the manager, the expense and this and this and this, they're all gone. So God put in my heart just to go to these people, tap him in the shoulder, pray with them, give him the word, and give him the gift. And that's what I did. That's what I did. You can imagine, the people could not believe somebody go there in these houses. Okay, this one here, the building a roof. That roof is a woman. Her roof crumbled from the rain, because it used to be, rods of the palm rods, the palm sleeve. It has a rod. The roof was these rods or these sticks. So rain came down and the roof trembled. And she has a problem where somebody tried to help her out, tried to take advantage of her. And when she was talking to me, the Lord told me, build her roof. Between me and the Lord, and I said, in my heart, I said, Lord, you didn't send me to build roof or build a house or build a church. You send me to feed the people. So I argue with him. And he said, build the roof. Nah, I gotta do that now. So I gave her the gift to pray with her, and we left. In the car, I keep hearing the voice, build her roof, build her roof, build her roof. So, okay, I asked the people there, how much it costs the roof to build? I just want to get out of it. He keep telling me, but I want to get out of it. They tell me 24,000 Egyptian pound. So that's about $1,200 here, $1,100. So I said, okay, can you find somebody to put it, to make the roof with less money? Yeah, we can try to, you know, I'm trying to, still, I want to get out of it. I said, okay. They said, we'll find a Christian contractor who can build it up. I said, okay. I prayed. So, okay, Lord, that's what you want. I'm going to do that. So I gave her $1,000. I gave them $1,000. It was $1,000 with me, American dollars, not Egyptian pound. I said, here's $1,000. Find somebody to build their roof. I was leaving, and he said, we promise you we'll send you pictures and report for what we're going to do. They are very faithful, and that's the pictures what is. And they build the roof, not rods, not the sticks. They build a cement, concrete, permanent roof, and the lady, she's very happy. I am saying that I'm very proud for what the Lord do through me. For me, I can admit it, my faith is very small. But I tell you what, this mission was for me elevation for my faith and my wife's faith. He took me from just regular believer or a pastor in four walls or just preaching about the faith to act. He showed me what the faith is. And now, instead of my faith just being a regular one, I believe in the Lord like that. Amen. I wait. And this time, I told my wife, the Lord told me, I asked the Lord, if this is going to be only one time or just continually? And I left it there. A couple of months ago in March, I hear the voice, go back to Egypt. I said, Lord, I just been there. I keep calling. So, okay, I still have the same problem. But, you know, you show me first, and you're going to show me now. And God provides. And this time, I went and get the ticket. It was expensive ticket, I tell you that. Because I'm going in June, the summer. It's expensive ticket. But I said, hey, he's paying, and not me. I will not take credit for anything except I am just the carrier. Just like the postman, when he carry your mail to your box, that's all what I can take a credit for. I'm just transmit that what the Lord wants to send these people. And I am so thankful. I am so grateful for the grace of God and the favor what he gave me. In the eyes of some people, to do the mission of God. And I invest in that with my effort, with my health. Oh, a miracle that happened with me when I was in Egypt. I had a big operation in September, and the doctor told me, you got 6 months to have complete control of yourself. And I went to Egypt after 1 month from this operation. And that's another thing when my wife told me, you are crazy. Your health, no money, your health, everything is against you. But thank God I went there. Been blessed. My health was good. Everything was fine. And the Lord glorify his name in these people. Until now, I get calls, people asking, people say, the Lord blessed us. If I keep talking about the trip in Egypt, I'm not going to finish. But I need to let you know that the Lord, He is a provider. He will never be in debt to somebody. He always gives us more than what we expect. By the way, the Lord did not pay first. He will not pay first. You're going to have to do something. Like for me, when I was going to get the ticket, I thought He's going to get the ticket first, the money first. But He doesn't work that way. He lets you do it, and your faith, by faith, He can provide for you. So I'm going back in Egypt in June 3rd, and I'm expecting to see more families than what I did see. I'm expecting the glory of the Lord can be upon me, upon the people there. And I'm sure the Lord is going to bring a lot of happiness to the people. If you see what did I see, no matter what I can talk about it, but if you see the joy, the cry, the tears for somebody, just care for somebody, nobody else take care of him. No churches, no government, no nothing. How could a person like that come to our house and sit with us in the floor and smell our house? The house is there, it's just like a dirt. There is no carpet, no ceramic, no nothing. Just dirt, just like the street. And you sit with them and pray with them and tap them on the shoulder. That's got more value than the gift what you give them. They told me that. We are not for the gift. We are for the passion. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He used to come from the mountain, He have passion for the people. And He let them sit down. And before He feed them with spiritually, He tell the disciple, give them something to eat. If you wanna win somebody, if you want to win the heart of somebody, especially when they are in a need, you have to provide his need first. I cannot go to somebody hungry and tell them, oh, I'm going to pray for you. God bless you, my brother. I pray for you. God will provide for you. What my job is? What is my job? If I can do good and I do not do it, it's a sin. That's what the Bible said, right? So it's not going to do him good. I tell him, go out and pray for you. It will do him good first to feed him. Then I can give him the word of God. So that's one of the things God put in my heart. Feed them. Feed the people. Help them out. Be with them in their misery. Be with them in their tribulation. Be with them in hardship. Then after that, you can accept the Christ. After that, they can tell you why you do that. Why you are there, then they have a door open for you. You can talk to them. When you talk to them after, it said the woman know how to get the heart of man when she feed him. Huh? Right? Thank you. Thank you. I feel the same way. I feel if you want to win somebody, you have to provide for him his need first. Shelter, clothes, food, emotion, counseling, just be with them. And when you develop the relationship and you provide his need, you have the opportunity to give him the spirit word. I'm going to ask you right now to pray for me. I'm going to ask the worship team. I remember now. Worship team, come. I'm sorry. The worship team, come. And I need prayer for the trip to Egypt. And bless the people who provide or who give. And when I go to Egypt, I don't want the people there to see John. And I'm saying that in here, in the public, before God, what I'm standing before him, I don't want them to see John. I want them to see Christ. Thank you. God bless you.